Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany on this day before New Year's Eve. I have as my guest today Chris Spencer, and Chris is the Director of Planning for the City of Albany. And Chris is going to talk about Rezone Albany this morning. So thank you for coming on Focus on Albany, Chris. How long ago was Rezone Albany proposed in the City of Albany?
Well, this was launched about 2 years ago. I mean, it's been in the works for quite a while before that, really sort of as an outgrowth of our completion of the city's first comprehensive plan in 2012. So that's one of the recommendations in the comprehensive plan is to update the zoning.
So zoning, tell everybody a little bit about zoning in the City of Albany, because people think of Rezone Albany and they think of Lock Street, but it's much broader than that. How would Rezone Albany change the way things are done right now?
Sure. The zoning controls the land use within the city, and it really looks at the regulations in terms of what you can do and can't do with your property, looks at the design regulations or landscaping if it's a commercial lot, things like that, and then looks at the administrative, you know, what is it required to get an approval for certain things. So there's 30,000 parcels within the City of Albany, and that's, you know, what we're dealing with. And our zoning is very outdated, and it's hasn't been updated in almost 50 years. And so there's a lot of properties that end up becoming non-conforming, and, you know, that's what we're dealing with, and I can explain a little bit about what non-conforming is. But, in general, the idea of the rezone is to make investment decisions more predictable for new businesses and for investors, to make it easier for property owners to do minor modifications on their property without having to go to a zoning board, and to ensure that we're meeting the goals and strategies of the comprehensive plan and making the city more walkable, creating vibrant neighborhoods, and creating economic opportunities throughout the city.
Now, if this has been discussed for a few years, I would say this was kind of under the radar because it just came to the forefront within the last month or two. Has there been a lot of talk about Rezone Albany before Lock Street started to get involved with it?
Yeah, I mean, there's been quite a bit of talk, and we've had a lot of meetings. We've probably had over 70 different meetings. We've met in different neighborhoods. We've met in different groups, and we launched a rezonealbany.com website for people to get information. And the entire rezone process so far, we're 2 years into it, and that's about where we thought we'd be. And for each section of this document, as we've gone through it and launched it, we put updates on the website and had public meetings related to each one. But it's, you know, we always knew that it was difficult to get a lot of people interested and engaged in the process, really until towards the end when the maps come out and people see exactly how it works. So the first two modules are really focused on what are the regulations and how do they work. And, then towards the end, it's when we look at the maps and see where we're going to apply these new or different districts that we've created. So there's been a lot of excitement and a lot of interest, but the Lark Street issues related to the hours of operation have sort of brought a lot of things to the forefront. But it's a very in the general scheme of the city, as far as what we have to deal with, it's a small amount of what we've been working on.
During the course of the last 2 years, as you've had public hearings, what has the response been, and has there been a large response from the city residents?
Sure. We haven't had public hearings. Public hearings really happen once you get to a body, either like the planning board or the council, getting ready for adoption. The public hearing is a little bit different because it has to be advertised in a newspaper. There are certain regulations. So what we've had are open public meetings. And the response has been good. I mean, a lot of people and a lot of who have sort of been engaged in the process and understand it can appreciate the improvement over what we have currently and how much easier it will make for investment decisions, how much closer the regulations are in terms of being consistent with the land uses that are already there. So I think, you know, the response has been very good. You know, it's always, you'd like to see more people at those meetings, but it's, you know, people are busy and it's always not always easy to get people involved. But we've had, you know, like I said, we've met with probably about 10 or 15 different neighborhoods, and we've met with neighborhood groups. We've met with just a number of different stakeholders as we've been through this process. We've met with each one of the council members to discuss particular issues within their wards. So it's been a very engaging and lengthy process.
Now, as you've met with homeowners, what are you proposing for the upper, like Ward 11 and, you know, towards the western part of the city? What are you proposing for them in Rezone Albany?
Well, I mean, in particular, areas that are residential today are not going to be changing. You know, larger areas of single or two-family houses, the zoning will stay essentially the same. The only thing that really changes in a lot of cases is the required lot size, because a lot of our existing zoning had requirements that most of the lots didn't even meet. And that was the reason so that many homeowners found that if they were doing something simple on their house, like a tiny addition or maybe a deck, rather than just get a building permit, they also would have to go to the zoning board to get a variance. So what we've done is sort of changed the required lot size to be more consistent with the size the lots are already platted at. So, you know, not a lot of big changes in most residential areas. We've created more different uses that are allowed within mixed-use areas, really tried to create more walkability by creating mixed-use areas that are a little easier to develop.
And for business owners, how will Rezone Albany change the way things are, business is done in Albany?
Well, I think in a lot of cases, what it's done is taken areas where there were commercial buildings that over time had been inappropriately zoned as residential. And so a lot of those areas were difficult for somebody to open up a new business if a building had gone vacant. So we've made some modifications in terms of that to make sure that if a building was built for commercial use, it continues to be allowed to be used that way, rather, you know, even if it goes vacant and becomes a, you know, sort of a non-conforming or it loses that non-conforming status. So, you know, let me just take a quick second. I mean, the non-conforming people get a little eyes get glazed over when they hear that, but it really just means, you know, it's what people think of as a grandfathered use. And that just means that you had a use for a building that was legal at the time it was established, and at some point the city came in and changed the zoning, making that use no longer legal, but under zoning you were allowed to continue that use. And typically, it's allowed to continue until that use goes away or that building becomes vacant. And then it has to, when it gets reestablished, it has to conform to the zoning that's underneath or that's part of that area. So what that's meant in a lot of cases, again, if a business was occupying a commercial building that was zoned residential, that building goes vacant, that building can no longer be used for commercial under the current zoning. So our proposal would fix that. Also, in residential areas, you have a lot of areas where you have multiple units, 2, 3, 4, 5 units in buildings that are in a maybe a two-family residential zone. And what we've had over the years is those buildings go vacant. Somebody wants to make an investment in that, but they're not allowed to do any more than two units. And so that sort of leaves a lot of buildings in limbo and makes investment decisions very uncertain. So we've tried to fix that as well.
Let's pay a little attention to Long Street. There's establishments that are open till 4 in the morning, 4 a.m., and there was talk about certain establishments closing at 11 instead of 4 a.m., and these people were really upset. They said it was going to harm their business. They were, there was no way that they could survive, those hours where they would be cut. So what happened? Why was there such a furor over Lock Street?
Well, I think there were two things. One is that, obviously people who had that permission to stay open later were worried about what would happen in the future. The other was that there was a bit of a misunderstanding in terms of what even the current regulations say. So in 1993, the city changed the zoning to require businesses within a neighborhood commercial zone, such as Lark Street, to close at 11 o'clock, and then they would not be able to open again until 6 a.m. So that's the rule that we've been living under. And anybody who wanted to stay open a little bit later would have to go to the zoning board to get some sort of a special permission to operate beyond those hours.
Mm-hmm.
The difficulty was that people were getting, understandably, they get different rules as they come out of the zoning board, because you go to the zoning board at different times. There are different circumstances that may surround it. So you could have two very similar businesses that go to the zoning board, and one might be able to stay open till 1, and another might be able to stay open till 3. So then it just becomes very hard, number one, to administer. Number two, if you're opening up a new business, it means, all you know is you can only stay open until 11 o'clock unless you go get special use permission. And that special use is not always granted. So that's kind of – those are sort of those unpredictable circumstances in terms of creating an investment decision. So what we had proposed in the zoning was to try to create some consistency in that. And rather than say everybody has to close at 11, we looked at the areas around there and tried to create a little balance with the neighborhood so the neighborhood would understand when new businesses are coming in really what the rules were going to be. And so we proposed that all new businesses and existing would be able to stay open till 2 a.m. And then they could open up again at 5. So it really lengthened the amount of time people could actually be open without having to go get special use permission. The difficulty was dealing with the ones that already had that permission. And in zoning, a lot of times what you do is you amortize that, or you look at the investment that's required for whatever they were doing, and you give them time to come back into compliance. And so in this case, we had proposed that if you had some permission to stay open beyond what we were proposing, which would be 2 o'clock, you could continue that, but you'd have to come into that compliance within 2 years, so giving everybody 2 years. So that was really where the issues came up, and that's, where people were worried, and a lot of businesses came to us and said that, there were a good portion of what they do happens in that 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. time period.
Right.
So we looked at a lot of different options in terms of how to deal with that. So it took a while to, not only to look at all what the options are, but also to make sure that they're legal, too, in terms of zoning. You can't just make up rules. You really have to have them tied to what land use regulations within the state of New York say you can and can't do. So the way we changed it was to allow everybody who has that permission to stay open later to continue to be grandfathered, and that would continue even if they sold the business. But the only way it would go away is if the business changed to a different type. So if you went from a bar to a bookstore and then tried to open up again as a bar, you would not be able to have that those extended hours.
The beginning of next week is the beginning of the new year. So this has been discussed for the past month or so, you know, I've seen a lot, I've heard a lot on Facebook and stuff. So the bottom line is, what is the timetable for the Common Council to get this, and when will they vote on it?
Well, I mean, they won't be voting on it until we get this to them. So we haven't gotten this to them because we have still a couple things that we're going to work out. And so it may be we may be getting it to them towards the end of next week, or maybe a couple weeks after that. At that point, it will also go to the planning board. The planning board will hold some public hearings. Planning board will make recommendations to the Common Council. The Common Council will probably send this to the Planning and Land Use Subcommittee. And then they will be having public hearings as well. So I don't know exactly, you know, it's probably about a month and a half timetable once it gets to the council.
So do you see this issue resonating in the race for mayor or council members?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, everything that we've proposed is consistent with the comprehensive plan. It's consistent with good planning. It's, you know, I think we've spent a lot of time with each one of the council members to make sure that we are addressing the particular issues within their ward. So, you know, I think it's, I'm hoping that it's something that people understand is good for the entire city of Albany, that promotes good development, promotes investment, and creates livability within the city. So I don't, you know, I don't particularly see any kind of political issues tied to this.
Okay.
So I think it's a, you know, sort of a non-political thing.
Right. Now, Rezone Albany is designed to modernize the city, more or less. As you look around the state at other cities, are they in the same boat that Albany is? Do they need modernization also, or are we a distinct city?
Yeah, I don't know what the timeline is on some of the other cities. I mean, we've gone a particularly long period without making adjustments to our zoning. But I know Buffalo is just finishing up their complete overhaul of their zoning. I think Syracuse is just getting underway on theirs. And there's a lot of New York tends to be a little bit more progressive in terms of the, you know, their timelines and making adjustments to that. But yeah, throughout the state, you'll see different areas that are doing these large overhauls. You know, and our hope with it, with this document, is that it's a much better organized document than the previous one, and that as issues come up, rather than dealing them with them with just a variance, we'll make adjustments to the zoning. And so, you know, we shouldn't be going another 50 years before we make any major changes. This should be, it's the kind of thing that probably every year this will get revisited, and, you know, not a large scale, but when we find out there are issues with the zoning and, you know, the zoning is not addressing certain development issues, then we'll make adjustments and we'll make recommendations for additional changes. So it's not, this is not one of those documents where we expect to deliver to the council and then keep it for the next 20 years. This is something that we expect, you know, will work, but we also understand that it's hard with 30,000 parcels and all these different regulations to get everything perfect. And as we start to apply the new zoning, we'll probably discover some issues that we need to address. And so we'll make modifications as we go along. But it will also be done through the same public process.
Right. This is going to be very interesting to listen and read about all of the talk and negotiations about this. So as this issue evolves, Chris, would you come back on Focus on Albany and share what's going on with the people in Albany so that they can have an understanding?
Sure. Yeah, I'd be glad to. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris, and Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody listening. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes, and if you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Chris, Happy New Year, and I look forward to speaking with you again. Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia. Have a good, happy New Year.
Bye. Thank
Bye.
You.